just a whack-a-doodle, wacky doodle doodle news according to me. Oh. Hey, it is, look at this. It's Friday. It is July 18th, 2 o'clock, what is it, 2:07, 2:07 a.m., 2:07, 27 seconds. On a Friday, 2025, June 18th. My word. We have, I don't know where I told you yesterday. I don't know where I told you I would be today. But I am nowhere that I am supposed to be where I was supposed to be, nowhere near anywhere I was supposed to go today. I think yesterday morning, if I remember correctly, I woke up in Albany. Pretty sure that's what happened. Yeah, I don't know why Siri now all of a sudden out of the blue just starts talking to me. I have, I think yesterday morning I woke up in Albany, if I remember correctly. Yesterday it was Thursday, that sounds right. I was in Albany. I was supposed to be in Birmingham. As I signed off yesterday, I think I said I was going to be in Chicago. And then maybe I said I was going to be in, I might have said I was going to be in, I think it was Chicago. I think that's what I said. That's not where I am today. I am not in Chicago. I am in a little place called Greensboro, South Carolina. Is it South Carolina or North Carolina? Where am I? I think I'm in North Carolina. Come to think of it, I think Greensboro is in North Carolina. I'm thinking of Greenville, Spartanburg. I think Greenville is South Carolina. Anyway, that's where I am. I'm in Greensboro. Now, yesterday I thought I was going to end up after the show, and when I got things going on, I thought there was a possibility I might end up. Now, this morning, here's the kicker. This morning, yesterday, even though I was in Albany yesterday morning, where I ended up. Before I came to Greensboro today.
You're at 1201 Lenana Road, Greensboro.
Yeah, I didn't ask. I didn't ask you, Siri. Didn't ask where I was. Where I woke up this morning was Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say about that. I ended up in Cedar Rapids, Iowa last night. Actually, yesterday. Fairly early in the day, and then this morning, find out I have to go to Greensboro through Chicago to Greensboro. I've been here most of the day, well, large part of the day. I got here this morning, and I unfortunately in this area near the hotel, unfortunately, there's a whole lot of things here as opposed to where I was in Albany. Which you would think, you know, Albany, New York, you would think there'd be a lot of things around the hotel there, around the airport and around anything there. And it's not. There's nothing there. I'm in Greensboro, North Carolina here, and there is everything here. Everything is around me. Mainly because there's a Chick-fil-A. That's everything to me. I don't know what else to tell you, but there's a Chick-fil-A a block away, basically. It's right here. I can almost see it out my window. The other thing that there is here is a Longhorn. And let's just say my future plans include a Longhorn visit here in Greensboro this evening for a dinner time thing. Now, so that gives you an idea of what's in my primary cup. Now, I have a primary cup, a backup cup, and a secondary backup today, and I'm going to tell you what's in all my cups here. I've got my. By the way, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. However, I am a tea snob. So I'm drinking my chai latte with powdered creamer. Unfortunately, it's all I could find here at the hotel right now. It's just had powdered creamer. Have that in there, which actually isn't that bad. It's actually powdered creamer is actually in terms of, you know, it's powdered, but it's like powdered milk. It's actually cream. It's actually real cream typically, and it's in a powdered form. If somebody made, and here's a little secret, guys, and this might be a little investment opportunity for some of us. This would be a great thing to make, flavored powdered creamer, because I would buy that in droves. I would buy it in packets, take it with me on my trips. Flavored powdered creamer instead of just all this flavored, you know, juicy juice stuff. If you had Almond Joy powdered creamer, I could probably keep a factory solvent for years. So if you know anybody in the powdered dairy making market, I think you should get them in touch with me. Oh, Siri found this on the web. I don't know why Siri is all of a sudden so interested in everything. The chair will not go down. I don't know what's going on with that. This chair is driving me crazy. So that's my main cup. That's my main. Of course, my typical main cup here. I didn't drink any this morning. I was saving it for the show. Now my backup cup is, of course, is a full large sweet tea with light ice from Chick-fil-A, which is some of the best sweet tea in the open market out there. Now, Longhorn also has some very good sweet tea. However, Longhorn has a tendency to be not quite as consistent as... Now, I'm in the Deep South here. This is Deep South tea I'll be getting here. Just about any restaurant you go to, the tea is probably better here than it's going to be anywhere else in the country, comparatively, in terms of consistency. Now, my side backup cup, my little side thing here, which has to be drank, is a frosted peach lemonade from Chick-fil-A. It's almost like a peach shake, but it's not. It has kind of a combination lemonade and peach shake kind of thing going on. It's a little bit more refreshing. It's not quite as cream heavy. It's not quite as rich. It's just very good. It's peachy. It's got peaches in it. The peaches come up the straw. It's very good stuff. Now, onward and upward. I would like to kind of settle this whole, and I know a Jeffrey Epstein thing has been kind of overdone. However, there's some things that I think need to be talked about, and I want to kind of put this thing to rest. Now, there's some things that are going on other than this, and I think that one of the things that I think, turn off this air conditioner in the background. I'm not sure it's going to do any good. Things seem to want to keep running. There's all kinds of weird noises in this room. I don't understand. I keep thinking, I think there's construction going on the floor below me. And they're making all kinds of noises down there. I might actually play this video because it is so, I think, telling of the attitudes here. Let me just... This is actually a Canadian staff sergeant talking about extremism.
About seeing individuals engage in that anti-authority and perhaps escalating their beliefs or their motives in that level. Wondering what the public can do in order to be vigilant, or what they can do to help in trying to ensure that there is safety and security on that front.
Well, radicalization in general quite often will show by people isolating themselves and changing their behavior, like changing what they're saying on a subject, like becoming more extremist. Like, and
listen,
if someone
example.
You know was very believed in equal gender rights, but all of a sudden are leaning towards like traditional values, and that might be a sign that they're becoming more extremist. But we also have to remember that having the most extremist views is perfectly legal in Canada, and that it's only acting with violence to prove that view that becomes a criminal offense.
So if they start to lean more towards traditional values, that could mean that they're becoming more radicalized. Yes, anyone leaning more towards traditional values, not going along with the program. This is real stuff. This is actually what's going on in Canada. It's happening here as well. This is Canada's just a half a step ahead of us. We in our cultural wars. I just wanted to play that because it gives you an idea that kind of sets the framework for where we're going with many, many things in this country. However, I want to talk about how this Jeffrey Epstein thing has just gotten kind of ridiculous. And it's kind of taken off on its own now with some different angles, some different things being said. Some people on the left are trying to create memes. They're trying to do all kinds of things. Now, you have to understand, the left sees the little bit of a frayed fabric in the GOP right now. They see this as an opportunity to step up and think that they're going to win some. You know, they're going to help encourage the division, because that's what they do. So what's happening here is they're trying to step in and take advantage of this whole thing. They're trying to say, yeah, you need to release some of them. Raskin is for one, for example, and I wish I had the video that I could play for you for that one. It's Raskin, Jamie Raskin, representative in the House for Senate, the House representative. He's the one who has now come out and basically was saying the other day how, and I think it was actually Piers Morgan he was talking to. And he was talking about how, the Jeffrey Epstein files, they need to be released now. They need to be released now. Oh, they should release these things. Well, these were under the complete control of the Democrat Party for 4 years. Under Merrick Garland, under Joe Biden's administration, the whole Epstein thing happened right before Joe Biden came into office. And why would there not be a desire to release those things during Joe Biden's administration? They could have just, if there's something that, because their insinuation now is that there's something hellacious, something salacious or whatever you want to call it, in these files, in this court, in this case, that will incriminate Trump and do their bidding for them. And of course, this is, of course, not the case. Now, Trump has come out and said there's, this whole thing's a hoax. It's been made up by Comey and all these other people, and all this stuff's been happening. And it's just so at the same time, Trump is saying that Epstein was a bad guy. He was a disgusting creep. At the same time, saying that this all this stuff has been made up by Comey and everybody else. Now, one of the things. This is a theory. This is conjecture. I'm just passing along a theory that someone else has. It's an interesting theory, and I'm going to give you my take on it. There is a theory out there that Comey, who is no friend of President Trump, Trump fired him. So you have to keep in mind that this is somebody who has a. Whether he realizes it or not, he's got implicit bias. He's got, he was jilted by this president. And he had control. His buddies in the, his buddies in the administration, the DOJ, they all had a certain amount of control of this material. And you have to keep in mind there's this firing of James Comey's daughter. Now, James Comey's daughter was overseeing. She was a chief prosecutor or one of the assistant prosecutors in the Epstein case. I think as well as Glenn Maxwell's case. She was also in the Diddy case. She was also in some other things. And of course, that went very poorly. The Diddy case, basically, he got away with pretty much everything. His prosecution basically was dropped, largely because of the incompetence of the prosecuting attorney. Now, so it's a Maureen Comey, is that her name? Last name's Comey. She was a prosecutor. And she was involved in all these high-profile cases, including, if I remember correctly, she was also involved somehow in the whole Hillary Clinton email thing. And I don't know what she had involved in that, but if she was, but it seems like my memory serves me that it was, she wasn't somehow involved in that. Now, having said that, they fired her. They, I think under the instruction or under the direction of President Trump, he directed Pam Bondi to fire Comey. Now, you would think that Comey deserves a medal, according to the left, in terms of the Comey's daughter. I think I'm pretty sure her name is Maureen Comey. So they treat her like, oh, she was this great ethical person who, nothing but integrity, and served her country so well, and now she gets fired by this administration. If this was just a vendetta, she would have been gone day one. Just give me, let's be clear about that. It has nothing to do with, in my opinion, has nothing to do with just the fact that she has been fired. It's not, it just seems ridiculous to me. So, what has happened here? Now, someone had, of course, now keep in mind, this is James Comey's daughter. James Comey was fired at the beginning of the Trump administration. James Comey did not step back into the FBI since. He has not been in the FBI since. He didn't serve under the Biden administration as anything in a formal position that I'm aware of, that any of us are aware of. However, he was constantly in the background, doing his little book tours and doing all of his little things, and of course, teaching or whatever he was doing in the background. Of course, he probably still went back to work for Boeing again. Who knows? Because that goes together. Just an aviation company. You step right out of being the director of the FBI to an aviation company. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. or maybe it was GE. I don't. Where was he? So this is what happens when someone has access like this. And of course, we know all about. I mean, Comey's been very open about how he passed notes on to people so that they would. So that he didn't give them to the press, but so that someone else gave them to the press. He's a very weaselly guy when it comes to ethics, because he thinks he's steering around the ethics. He wants to get something done, but he can do it the ethical way by doing it this way, or the unethical way by doing it that way. But the same outcome. It's just the means justifies the ends. He doesn't, he's trying to protect himself in the meantime. So it's odd. It's very strange that his daughter gets fired. And I'm giving you more my take on this than anything, but the theory is that somehow this whole thing was designed as if it was the Christopher Steele dossier kind of thing against Trump. Now, my guess is that Pam Bondi has all the files, all the testimony, all the information from the Epstein case. And what they've probably found is that all the information, first of all, you can make information like this. You can create a case because you have complete access to all this stuff and complete, it's all in complete undercover stuff. This is, in other words, eyes only type stuff. And there's only a few people, very few people that actually get access to the information. As they're digging into it, they probably have found that most of the original information has been destroyed, first of all. Because the FBI, if you don't believe me, check into it. Look into how many times the FBI has lost information, whether it has been hard drives or the, oh, we accidentally, the hard drives got accidentally got erased, or they got destroyed, or they were tampered with, or they, something happened to them, or they were, you know, they were destroyed accidentally. There's a lot, whole lot of January 6th information, a lot of video information that was accidentally destroyed. As soon as the J6 committee got done, by the way, with their investigation, they destroyed about, 2 terabytes of information? That was just documents. Some ridiculous amount of documents, let alone the video information that was also destroyed as well. So they do this kind of stuff all the time. And it's because plead the whole plausible deniability thing. These people are lawyers. They all the time. They know what they're doing. They know how to play the game. They've been doing it for a long time. So they can get away with this kind of stuff. Now what I think has happened here is they have created this case that they were hoping that Trump, because they knew Trump's interest in this thing, and they knew that the people who were supporting Trump knew their interest in this thing. So they set it up. They set a trap here. That's what they did. They set this up so that when Trump starts to release the files, that it starts to implicate Trump more than anybody. It becomes very ambiguous that Trump did this or Trump did that. And some of this information has, in my opinion, has already started to leak out. They've already this one birthday card or whatever it is that has now supposedly come out where Elon Musk has said it's a fake. But it's this whole conversation going on back and forth between. Conversation that went on back and forth between Jeffrey and Trump, and it was just not believable at all. You read it, and it's like, this doesn't even sound like anybody that doesn't sound like Epstein. It doesn't sound like a conversation that two grown men would have, first of all. And it's more like something that, if you remember back when what's Pencilneck's name, Adam Schiff. When Adam Schiff, you know, came out with this whole thing where he stood before the Congress and he read this report about what, you know, the conversation that went on between Trump and Zelensky, and how the from Ukraine, and how this conversation went down, and he read this whole script out. It sounded like a mob boss, and he read it as if it was the way it had actually happened. Of course, he ended up getting censored over this whole thing. But when he read it, he said, well, this wasn't real. It was just a reenactment. It was a hyperbole. It was, you know, he didn't say that when he was reading it. He didn't say it until he got called out on it. But he left this image in everybody's mind that this is the conversation that went on between him and Zelensky, and that he somehow, that's the word, he bullied him into, you know, everything that was going on. So that's the kind of thing that these people do. But it almost sounded like something that Adam Schiff would do. Is this little birthday card thing. The conversation was stupid. Well, this is enraging Donald Trump. And he's getting more and more upset about the whole thing. Now he's talking about suing some people who are involved in it. They're finding out who was behind it all. And so he's directing Pam Bondi. Now, supposedly he's directing Pam Bondi to do as much as she can to release as much information about the case as she can. I thought that was under directive already. That's what we were told before. That was the charge that was given to the DOJ, but apparently not. But it is now. I don't know. Maybe it isn't. I don't know. You know. I really don't care about the list or anything else. I don't care about any of that. What I care about is transparency. I care about honesty. And I realize that the majority of Americans really don't care about Epstein. And they don't care about the list. They don't care about the Epstein files. There is a hardcore group of people, however, who are very politically involved and motivated by whatever reason. I'm not saying they're all bad reasons to be motivated into why you want to know about this thing. Now, the problem I think Trump's running into is he's vilifying anybody who does want to know what's going on with Epstein. And a lot of these people are his supporters. They're his base. A lot of those people are you know, rock solid, hardcore Trump supporters. Now, maybe he's playing 17D chess or whatever he's doing, and he's trying to, you know, come out with this way of saying, well, they made me do it kind of thing. They made me push this out there. So I'm going to go ahead and do it. And the Democrats are asking for it. So I'm going to go ahead. I think it is a trap. I think there was a trap set by the Democrats who had control of this in the background, waiting for him to start wanting to push this out. And they had some kind of information, you know, because now he's saying that this is a hoax. This is a whole, you know, this is all made up stuff. Because he knows that this, a lot of this stuff, what's in those files. He knows. And for him to come out and say it's a hoax and it's all been crafted by Comey and all these other people. Trump doesn't just say stuff without having some kind of information about it. That's one thing I've found about the guy. That's why a lot of times he'll come out, you know, he'll say something salacious, and all of a sudden the wing media, their heads pop off, and they don't know what to say about it. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to react to what he says. Well, then come to find out later on, he was right. Well, I think he has more access to more information than what we realize. And he draws these conclusions based on, you know, facts. He's not just coming off with weird ideas sometimes. There have been very few things that he said that have not come about found out later to be true, or had, you know, it was based on basically a true statement. And so I think that the how many times do we have to hear the word conspiracy theory? Oh, this is just a conspiracy theory, and of course, the conspiracy theory is, oh, it wasn't a conspiracy theory. It was a conspiracy. It wasn't a theory. It was a theory, but it was a theory based on facts. I can go on a list of about 20 different things that have happened in the last 10 years. The main things, big things, you know, not there, let alone the 50 other things that have happened. So I think it's important that we take a step back from some of this stuff and just go, you know, what is it? How does it affect our lives? Okay, and I think it's one of the things that Trump has even made this statement. You know, it's we need to move forward with life. It doesn't, you know, our lives aren't affected by what happened with Jeffrey Epstein. He's gone. However, government's involvement in what was going on with Epstein and who was involved and what other governments were involved and what's happening here, I think that's what's important, what the people want to know about this whole thing. It's not just about Jeffrey Epstein. It's about the whole machinery that made Jeffrey Epstein. It's how did he survive? How did he make his money? How did he function? Who was he functioning with? And how that whole thing works. I think that's the thing that most people want to know. I think that's where Trump gets it wrong. It's not about Jeffrey Epstein. It's not about Donald Trump. It's about the machine, the shadow government, the deep state stuff going on, the world powers that be that are behind a lot of the activities that take place. I think that is what Americans want to know. And that's, I think, as we go into the weekend, by the way, Shabbat Shalom, as we go into Friday evening here, I think it's important that we settle in our hearts the fact that, look, it's just a time to step back, take it easy, be grateful for the things. Just take this weekend. You know, it's just an oddball weekend. It's just a weekend out of the summer. There's no holiday. There's no special thing happening this weekend in terms of national holidays or anything like that. I'm sure there's some special things happening in your life, whether it's birthday parties, whatever it is, anniversaries, whatever it might be. But I think it's important to just take a moment to be at peace, take a rest, reflect on some things, and get some perspective, I guess, is what the key word here is. We want to know, we want to be able to step back and say, you know, what really affects my life? How can I be effective in the world around me? And what things do, you know, really matter to me in terms of being able to be effective as a human being in society? And most of those things are, relate to what my relationship with God is. If my, if I continue to press in to being a human who walks closer to his creator, that has an effect on everybody around me. It absolutely does. And so if nothing else, you know, take this weekend to find a way to grow closer to the one who designed you, created you, knitted you together, and then threw you out in the world and said, there you go. I said, good luck. That last part. He didn't do that last part. He had plans for you. It's yeah, there you go. And he excuse me, I don't have a mute button on this particular laptop, so I don't have a way to shut off my coughing. I have, as we step into the weekend, folks, I just want to say, you know, thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing and liking the podcast. Call the show. I want to know, now you know what I think. I want to know what you think about what I think at 812-379-8778. Call or text the show, 812-379-8778. If you don't have an international calling plan, you can go to google.com/voice and type that number in, and you can leave a message via voicemail or text message. Folks, God bless. Have a great rest of your day. And I will talk to you, I believe, on Monday from my home studio. I believe. Possibly from the international studio. We'll see. See you.